Drone searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight here on 2ARM FM. This morning I have Paul in from the Armidale Tree Group. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Herb.
So a bit wet out underfoot at the moment.
Very wet. It's almost tropical Armidale at the moment.
Yes, no, it's. But it is good to have all that rain here, not flooding, which is great. Now, you're in today to talk about the Armidale Tree Group.
I am indeed.
And you're the president now of Armidale Tree Group.
I am. I've moved up from vice president to president, and Dave Stella stepped down after a number of years in the role, and he's now taken up the position of treasurer. So it's given people the to look at different roles.
And I did do a community spotlight on the actual tree group in prior episodes, and that's available as a podcast on our 2arm.net.au website. Just type into the search Armidale Tree Group, that'll come up, so you get the history of the tree group. Today we're talking about an event you've got on Sunday. Now, what's the event?
We're having an open day on Sunday to be part of the Autumn Festival to showcase the tree group and some of the activities that we do and some of the other parts of the work that members and friends of the tree group do in the environment.
So you've got a number of workshops and talks.
We do.
We might just go through the running sheet. Workshops in the nursery at 10:30.
So the whole day starts at 9:30. The gates will be open. People can come in and look around at what we do. And there'll be staff there and committee members to talk to them about any of the issues they have with their own trees, their gardens, show them around the facility.
Will you be going for the walk around the Mike Keefe woodland then?
We certainly will. We'll have self-guided walks or group walks, depending on what people would like to do. And we'll be showing them the extensive grounds that we actually maintain and look after down there.
And will that include having a look at the footbridge?
Yes, it will. That's our latest and greatest project down there that we've done. It took about 5 years from inception to having the bridge in place, and we were hoping to have the opening this weekend. But as you've touched on, it's so wet, we haven't had the boardwalk approach completed, and we haven't got the signs up to thank all those who contributed to the project.
But I believe that everything has a silver lining. So that just means that you've got another opportunity to open the tree group, open the Mike O'Keefe woodland, and showcase the new woodbridge.
We are planning that spot on, Herb. We'll do that in spring.
So just go back a step, Mike O'Keefe. Tell me about Mike O'Keefe. I knew Mike when I first came to Armidale.
Mike, one of the loveliest people we'd ever meet, I think you'd agree, Herb. He was just passionate about trying to do something in the environment to address dieback, which was quite a thing in the New England for those who haven't been here for a long time. About 40 plus years ago, we had an ecological disaster in this region caused by drought and insects, and the combination of all that led to a whole lot of trees dying by the thousands, not just few here and there. Mike was one of the people who said, we need to address this. And with Mike and a group of other people, that some of whom are still part of the tree group now, people started getting together trees. They were propagating trees and taking them around in a caravan to various places to promote putting trees back in the landscape.
No, certainly Mike, rest in peace, Mike. He was a giant man in stature. He sort of towered over me, but also a giant as how friendly he was and able to impart his knowledge on plants. He got me into native plant or New England plants when I first came here, when the tree group was over across from O'Connor High School at the back of the showground.
Yes.
And it's a giant in terms of his drive to regreen New England.
Absolutely.
And obviously support the tree group. No, we lost a good one there. That's the footbridge. Then at 10:30, I've got Peter Metcalf.
Yes.
Diversity in the Woodland. Now, he's another passionate orchid grower, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But passionate about wattles, his orchids, but also his knowledge of diversity in the woodland. So that'll be the first workshop.
Yes,
and he'll at 10:30.
He'll be undertaking that out in the workshop in the Mike O'Keefe woodland, so that he'll be showing people in the field various aspects of the vegetation in there that they can understand how it relates to the environment, and they can replicate those things even in their own yards. and he'll be trying to give them encouragement and understanding about how they can use that knowledge to their own benefit.
I suppose if I had to guess, Diversity in the Woodland would be about the different stories of plants, the understory, the ground covers, the different species, not having single species forests, but having a variety of species, which is important just for food sources for different, you know, our marsupials, but also our bird life and our insects.
Correct.
Different plants, different purposes in our Australian environment, and then the different understories, grasslands, bush, all creates a habitat within a woodland and not just a forest.
Absolutely, you're spot on.
A seed propagation is at 11:30.
Yes. So one of the things that most people don't understand is how to actually create your own plants from seeds that you take from the environment. Now, you have to be careful about taking seeds. You can only take a few, otherwise you need a license to do it. But if you do find seeds or have seeds that you want to use for Banksias or wattles or so on, there are various techniques that you need to get success with doing that, and this workshop will help you understand that and take away the mystique about how you could actually grow your own plants from seed.
No, it'd be very interesting because a number of our wattles that I understand need fire to propagate. So some of the tricks, I suppose, in propagation is use of smoke and heating some of the seed pods and all that type of thing. So that'll be a great workshop. That's Sam Arundale Baluti. Come and see Sam on seed propagation 11:30 at the nursery. 12:30, this is a bit of a passion for me, plants for birds. Again, Pete.
Again, building on his extensive knowledge over the decades of plants, he will be able to instill in you information and knowledge about how to create a garden that will be bird attractive.
That harks back to his diversity of woodland workshop, is that once you know the diversity of your woodland that you want to create, you also then can look at the birds that you'll be creating that woodland for.
Correct.
Some of those ones that live there all the time, your fantails and your different passerines that make that its home, but also for foraging birds, your lorikeets and different honey eater type birds that come through. But they only come through when certain things are in flower.
Correct.
So Pete will be able to tell you about the different species that you need to plant to grow your woodland, but also the connecting that to the birds that you're most likely to attract.
Correct. Yes.
So it'll be, this is going to be a fantastic day.
Oh, and the people that have given up their time to do these things are so knowledgeable. I can't speak highly enough of them, Herb. They are so good to do these things.
So propagation from cuttings, Kim Kneebone.
Again, another tricky thing. We see Kim's our nursery manager, but she comes from an extensive background of nursery work. Kim will be able to show you the tips and tricks of how to take cuttings, appropriate types of cuttings for the various plants, how to then treat them so that you get a high success rate when you do your cuttings. There are various ways, just the same as with seed propagation, there are various tips and tricks to getting a really successful outcome from cuttings.
That's going to be fantastic, and that's at 1:30. So that's the finish for the workshops. Now, you've got talks at the same time. I don't know how you would choose to go to which one or the other. There's so much delicacies on offer here. It's a real smorgasbord. So 10:30, pollen with Dr. Andrew Thornhill.
So Andrew's going to be talking about the various types of pollen, how it is created and so on, various uses of pollen by insects and birds and so on. So what makes those plants attractive to various insects and birds and other parts of the foragers that go in, the nectar eaters and so on, and also other applications of pollens. Some pollens collected for food, other uses, and he will be able to speak with great authority on that.
Then we go into eucalypts at 11:30 with Dr. Rose Andrews.
Eucalypts seem so obvious, don't they? The old gum tree, and yet when you start unpacking it, there are hundreds and hundreds of different types of eucalypts, and they grow in different ways and have different purposes of living in the landscape. These things will help us understand what's appropriate for urban yards, what's appropriate for farm planting, and how it works in the environment.
12:30, conserving the Bell's turtle, Dr. Louise Streeting.
Now, Louise Streeting has done amazing work on the Bell's turtle, which is a rare and endangered turtle that lives in this region, and she's been propagating the little turtles and releasing them in the area This will help people understand how these turtles are so critical as indicators in the ecosystem and why it's important to ensure their survival.
So is that the one that was... that's not the Bellingen turtle, is it? That's
no.
A different one. So they live on the tablelands?
These ones are on the tablelands from Walker right through to Tenterfield and out to the Western Escarpment. So they are affected by the way we use our waterways and what we put in the waterways and our droughts and so on. And Louise will give people some insight into that, and hopefully we'll end up with more citizen scientists out there looking around their places to keep an eye out for these important turtles.
So I'll just do a plug there for TurtleSat. TurtleSat.org.au is a citizen science approach to tracking turtles. And I'm just looking at it on here on the internet. We've got a stack of turtles around Armidale here. And I'm assuming that's where we find where the Bell's turtle has been located. So there is a lot of reports of turtles in the area, right out to Invergarry, cross out to Ebor. So TurtleSat, turtlesat1word.org.au. That's the citizen science portal for people to track turtles and to locate them in our region. But it's across Australia. I think they just said 1 million turtles, or that might be the target, 28,000 reports in New South Wales itself.
Yes.
Incredible. But that's the power of citizen science.
Absolutely.
And you'll hear that at 12:30, Conserving the Bell's Turtle with Dr. Louise Streeting. 1:30, but well, one of my passions, Koalas by Matt.
Matt's working on a project through the Southern New England Landcare and with John Lemon. Started out a couple of years ago before Matt came along to track koalas. Most people would be aware they're fairly threatened, and the bushfires and droughts in recent years decimated the numbers around the coast and the tablelands, and so there's been a really strong push to track the numbers, to put feeding stations back into the environment, and a lot of tree planting to replace the trees that are suitable tree species for feeding koalas. And Matt can talk about all that and more about how we can help the survival of the koala.
Fantastic. Yes, I did a spotlight on the koala, John Lemon, back in August of last year. So if people want to go and find that podcast, go back to 2arm.net.au, go to our podcast page in the search function, type in koala, and you'll come up with John Lemon and our discussion about koala. But the big thing about the koala was the koala pack that's available through the Armidale Tree Group. So the koala pack, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's full of tree species. If you're a person who wants to grow some trees, a farmer, got a block of land or backyard or whatever, you can buy a koala pack, which has the food trees that they need, and you can recreate a little patch of koala habitat wherever you live.
Can indeed, Herb, and you've got a great memory to remember all that about the koala pack. It's a pack of about 40 trees and shrubs that will go together to create that habitat and create the opportunity for koalas to be able to safely move from one point to another, because that's part of the difficulty in our environment. When we lose trees in the environment, the koalas then have to cover large swathes of open ground where they're subject to predation from cats and dogs and things like that.
But don't forget, Paul, that if you don't have a block of land and you want to still do something for the koala, you can come in and talk to the people at the tree group, offer your help as a volunteer, and if there is a planting or somebody needs a hand with planting, maybe there's somebody got a block of land and wants to do planting but needs some help to do it, you could actually sign up as a volunteer to actually help them.
Absolutely, yes.
And I think that's the fantastic thing about the Armidale Tree Group. It's a totally volunteer organisation. There is some employed people to run the centre. Basically, it's volunteer work. If you have a green bent and a green thumb, the tree group is where you want to be, because you can actually get involved. You don't have to have a block of land. You can live in a unit. Doesn't matter. Come in, volunteer, spend a day in our great New England. Perfect time now to help plant trees or get rid of invasive species or just be part of a group of people doing something for the environment.
Absolutely, Herb. And the feedback from those people that come to these events and come and volunteer, even to do things at the tree group itself, is that it's so peaceful, calming and enjoyable, and you get to meet so many other like-minded people.
Yeah, I think that's it. Meeting like-minded people doing good things for the environment always fills your heart, I think. So kids activities.
We've got Anita Brown doing some kids activities from 10:30 to 2:30 during the day, and Anita's got extensive background in the UNE Discovery Program, going out to schools and other community groups to show kids how they can become involved in environmental activities, what they can do as kids and make an impact on the environment, and hopefully enthuse them to carry on that love of the environment for the rest of their life.
So we'll just mention that adults to accompany the kids.
Yes, please.
Keep them
yes.
in control. stop them climbing the trees. But that'll be from 10:30 to 2:30, so plenty of time. So the event is from 9 till 2:30. And the kids thing is from 10:30 to 2:30. That's in the green classroom. That's at the centre?
Yes. As soon as you come in the gate, there's a green room. You can't miss it in front of you. It's a bright green building. Just go straight there, and that's where...
They're behind the green doors.
They're behind the green doors.
You've noticed that the station's just got the green doors now.
Yes.
So we've made a statement there. Continuous barbecue.
Yep.
That'll be a barbecue on offer. Is that...
Gold coin
sausage and sandwich?
That's it.
Nice.
That's it.
Coffee van will be on sale.
Coffee and cake.
Music.
Yep.
We've got a few music players.
We do indeed. We've got a variety of music. We've got some strings coming, a nice group of strings. We've also got some... bit of quiet alternate rock for people who want something else.
Well, a little bit of music, that'll be great. And art, there'll be art.
Plenty of art. We've got community members, again, who are really active in the tree group that do photography, painting, all sculpting and a number of things. Our big paper mache koala is still there on the ground that was done by a group of people for an autumn festival a couple of years ago.
And just to finish off there, we've got displays from the Southern New England Land Care, the Koala Display, Armidale Plant Society, Northern Tablelands Wildlife Carers, and the Azidi Produce Stall.
These are all groups that are kindred spirits, if you like, of the same sort of objectives that we're trying to achieve in improving the environment. The Azidis one is particularly interesting because they had support from council to get a block of land. They love farming and gardening. They have a collective where they can actually grow their own vegetables and so on. As a result of that, the tree group's actually created Friends of the Garden, and Kim's actually, our garden manager, has actually organised a group that's actually going to propagate heirloom vegetables.
Oh, nice. Do they sell their produce, or they just distribute it amongst their community?
They distribute it amongst their community.
And I see that they've got a restaurant now opened up in the mall there.
They do. And if you haven't tried it, Herb, go and try it. The food is magnificent.
I think that's about it, Paul. Anything else in final?
Just to remind people, if you don't know where the Armidale Tree Group is, we're in Mann Street at the back of TAS.
So 80 Mann Street, also behind TAS but next to the retirement village.
Correct.
There, the oak tree, the back of the oak tree. Well, thanks very much for coming in, Paul. I think it's going to be a great day, and I think it's going to be fine. So probably wear a hat, bring some water.
I would think so. Wet weather seems to have moved out, and we're going to actually have a great day and a great opportunity for people to come and see what we do.
The gods are smiling on the people who have a green thumb and a green bent in their life. Thank you. That's Community Spotlight. Thanks, Paul, for coming in.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.